Welcome to Maseches Yevamos, Perek Yud Mishnah Aleph, Part 2, Chapter 10, Mishnah 1, Part 2. Just a reminder, the Mishnah was discussing a scenario with a woman whose husband went away to a faraway country. One aide comes back and testifies, one witness comes back and testifies that he's dead. And then she goes and she gets married. And then, to her shock and chagrin, her husband shows up. So it comes out that her second husband that she was with is adultery. So Mishnah says there's a lot of penalties that happen to this woman because she shouldn't have gotten married unless she was 100% confident that her husband had actually passed away. So the Mishnah says that if, let's say, her husband or husbands, the first or second, were kohanim, they're not allowed to go to her funeral if she dies. They, usually a kohen can't come and contaminate himself, can't be metame to a mace to a dead person. But if it's a relative, an immediate relative, he could. But here, since she's a psula, she is a woman who's done something she shouldn't do, he can't be metame to her. So the first husband or the second one don't get her mitziah, they don't get a lost object that she finds, which usually goes to the husband. They don't get the salary that she makes by working. And they don't have the option of abolishing her nedarim, her vows, which usually a husband has that, unless he has that merit. Continues the Mishnah, if, let's say, she was a Bas Yisrael, she's a regular Jewish girl, by this happening, she becomes pasul from kahuna. That means if her husband dies before she was divorced from him, because then if she was divorced, she's anyways pasul, but her husband dies before she was divorced from him, so she's not allowed to marry a kain, because she's like a zayna. But Ubas Levi, let's say she was a daughter of a Levi, minamasa, she becomes disqualified from eating maser. Rabbis penalized her. Ubas kohen min ha-truma. If she was the daughter of a kohen, she loses the opportunity to eat truma. And the Gemara adds, not only truma daraisa, truma that's rabbinic, that's a biblically obligated, but even truma that's rabbinically mandated. So the inheritors of both don't inherit her ksuba. The Gemara says that this is talking about something called ksubas nindichem, which we've had previously in this mesechta, which basically means that it's written in the ksuba that if the woman dies while her husband is still alive, then her own children, her male children, they inherit the money of the ksuba and anything else that she brought into the marriage. So usually the children get it, the sons get it. But here if she died and then her husband's died and she had children from the first marriage or the second marriage, her children don't get the ksuba s'nindichrin. V'meisu, and if, let's say, both husbands died, husband number one who's legitimate, husband number two is illegitimate, achiv shalzeh, achiv shalzeh, chotzim lemiyavin, the brother of the first fellow, which really is the brother that needs to do yibim biblically, there's no yibim. It's a kanas chacham, it's a rabbinic penalty. And the brother of the second one does chalitza, even though really she was never married to him, but she has to do chalitza anyway, so people shouldn't say there's no chalitza in this situation, there's nothing being done. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi disagrees in the whole Mishnah. He says, Subasa amdichse bala rishon. Rabbi Yossi holds that the first one has to pay her the money of the ksuba, because he says, what do you mean? She didn't do anything wrong. This was her husband. Rabbi Lezer, Marishan Zakoy, Mitzias, Rabbi Lezer says, because of this, the first one, he merits to get her Mitzia, her lost objects that she finds. Umasiya daha, and the money that she produces by working. Ubafaras nidareha, and he has the right to abolish. And her vows, because he says, well, they don't penalize the husband. He didn't do anything wrong. He was away. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Chalitza, Semechav, Sharishan, Bateres, Sarasar. Shimon holds that if the brother of the first one does Yibam, which he's permitted to do, not like we saw in the previous opinion, or he does Chalitza, so then the Tzara, the co-wife, does not have to have anything done to her, because once the first one does whatever he does, it takes care of the situation. And he says, if, let's say, the first one goes and they live together as husband and wife, and they have a child, even though we said that according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, the child's a mamzer, here it's not a mamzer. He says it's not a mamzer. Let's say a woman, two witnesses come in and they testify that your husband is dead and she got married. She never went to Beis Din. In that situation, she doesn't have to. She can be seder, she can rely on the edim, on the witnesses. So then if her husband does show up, she's permitted to marry her original husband because she's considered a total einus. It was totally out of her control. And the halacha is the second marriage was nothing and the first marriage continues the way that it was previously. Wishing you a fantastic, amazing day and a wonderful rest of your week.